In this week's parsha, which is Pinchas, we begin to really feel that we're moving forward towards the land of Israel. Discussions have begun in terms of inheritance, how the land is going to be divided. We're moving forward. Soon the dream, which has existed for hundreds of years, is going to become a reality. As all this was taking place, there were a group of women, sisters, who felt that they were being left out. Their father had died, and therefore he was ineligible to receive the land. And they approach Moshe, and they say, "Our father has died. Can't we inherit the land?" Now, the concept of the women or daughters inheriting was something which Moshe apparently had no idea. And he turns to God and he asks, what is it that he's supposed to do in this case? And God instructs the daughters of Tzlavchad, these sisters, did have the right to inherit. What happens afterwards, though, is extremely interesting. Moshe then turns to God in what seems to be a prayer or a request, and he brings up the problem, which is really an obvious problem. Moshe would soon die, and who's going to take over for him? Rashi understands it very subtly. There's an issue over here also of inheritance. And Rashi suggests that Moshe is concerned about his own children. Just like the daughters of Tzlavchad came and presented to Moshe, and then, by extension, to God, their rights, Moshe now does something which is really something that we haven't seen. He speaks as a father. Although the way the text actually reads it, it was not his own request that he's making. He's making a request to God. The people need a leader. And it seems to be that what he's hinting at, again, at least according to Rashi, is his own needs, as it were, or to put his children in a place that they will inherit. And God responds and says, no. God responds and says, you have a wonderful person who can take over, and his name is Yeshua ben Nun, who's been Moshe's right-hand man for many, many years. We really can't tell if there was a feeling of disappointment, and again, this whole read is not in the text itself. It's in a subtext that Rashi and Chazal see. But it's interesting, because it would seem to be that Yeshua himself, who now is going to be king, I don't know what else you call the leader. Do you want to say that at this point he's commander-in-chief? He's going to be the leader of the people, and he's taking over for Moshe. And he was extremely worthy. When the rabbis look at it and say, no, what made him so worthy? He never left Moshe's side. He was there during all the downtime. He was there and he understood not just the formal role of leadership, he was also trained in the informal understanding of what leadership is. And part of the tragedy of Moshe's life is that as leader, he was not really, shall we say, the proper parent for his children, not by choice, but because he was always there in the public eye. Moshe, according to the way that we understand the text, had to walk away from his family. All of the children of Israel were his family. Soloveitchik made this point and said great leaders at times lose their individual status. And his primary example was Moshe. But the choice of Yeshua is interesting for another reason, at least according to the way that the text reads, and it's simple reading, in Chronicles and Devar Yamim, Yeshua himself didn't have any children. Which means as much as Moshe can then feel that he's left out, you know, as an extension of the daughters of Tzlafchad who felt left out, and Moshe can say, my children left out, how can he possibly respond that way to a man who doesn't have any children? Incidentally, according to the rabbis, Yeshua may very well have had daughters, although most likely not yet. Only after he enters the land of Israel does he meet a very interesting woman and then have children. But as of this point, Moshe teaches us an important lesson. Just like his death is itself an important lesson, that every man at some point needs to surrender. And all of us at times will need to walk off the stage. And all of our desires are not going to be fulfilled. Moshe can't look at Yeshua, who'll take over, with jealousy, because at least at that point Yeshua doesn't have any children. So Moshe's going to turn and say, well, I want my children to inherit, and say that to a man who now is given leadership because he deserves it. And Yeshua himself, at this point at least, has even less. Now, it's very easy for all of us to focus on what we're missing. When we look around, there are other people who are missing other things. And we seem to be far more sensitive to our own losses or our own surrender that we need to take place. And not as sensitive to other people and the shortcomings that they experience.